Hi, I'm Paul Wilkinson from MasteringPortraitPhotography.com, and in this podcast, I want to talk a little bit about plagiarizing your own work and why that can be a good thing, and why you should learn to think a little bit like a judge. Hi, I hope you're having a good evening. Hello from the UK. As usual, I'm sitting in our lounge. The fire is roaring. Everybody is asleep. The dog is just looking at me with a kind of, will you please shut up kind of look. But he's happy enough, the studio mutt. It's been a good week this week. It's been a really interesting few days. Today's been great. And you hear photographers say this, the day's been great, but actually today has been great. It started with a really lovely shoot. I did a set of corporate headshots this morning for some execs in a company. And I, contrary to what you might think, I actually find corporate portraiture, I don't like the title very much, but corporate portraiture is really interesting to do because it actually gives you a fairly carte blanche to create images. Yes, all right, I'm working with a design agency or a web agency, all the brand managers from the business. And for instance, today's shoot, they sent me examples of what they wanted the website to look like. It's already live and all of the faces from the company are already on the website. And so I assumed that the people they were sending over to the studio were new joiners, so new execs who had joined the company and needed photographs. Well, far from it. Two of the three who came this morning already have photographs on the website. So I had to kind of say, well, what are you doing here, given, you know, you already have your photographs and I've been told to photograph in the same style. So they said, well, we don't like them, so we've come to have them done again. One of the guys is a new joiner and he used that as an excuse for the other two to come along and be photographed once more. So that's a great opportunity for me. There's a lot of people in the company, and if I get this right, there may be more work, but more importantly, it gives me a chance to just try some stuff, because if they don't like what was gone before, it means I can't photograph it exactly the same. So I lit it really carefully. These are black and white portraits on a white background, which they get bad press, these things, but if they're done well, I really love them. If you get the black and white conversion just on the money, if you get the lighting just on the money, if you get the posing and the styling just on the money, they have a really effortless quality about them. And so I did the shots for the guys. And then at the very end, I took some more against a black background, really darkened it down. And I'm pretty well known for that kind of look. So I just thought, well, I'll try it. And I showed the guys and they loved it so much, they've gone back to head office to suggest that they do the rest of the brand like that, in which case they'll all come to me to be photographed. And not only will that be quite a nice piece of work financially from the studio's point of view, but it's actually quite a nice thing to do creatively. I really, really enjoy corporate portraiture. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about plagiarism, but plagiarism of a good kind. And too often, I think, photographers either do one of two things. One, they take the same exact same shot every day. I think that's a real travesty. It would break my heart if I did that. I'd get bored. I'd get bored so very quickly. And I think that's true of a lot of photographers. They're going through the motions. And while I understand that there's a need to have a consistency in what you do, particularly if you're in a rapid fire studio, I don't believe it has to be the same shot every day. Now, don't get me wrong. We have clients now who come to us and they will show me one of my older pictures and say, can I have something similar to that, please? Of course you can. But of course, if I lit you like that, you're not going to look so good because your face shape is different. Your body shape is different. Things have moved on. So yes, I'll take that image and let's play homage to it. Let's plagiarize my own image. So I'm going to take that as a context in which we're going to work, and then I'm going to develop it and do something that's specific for you, but recognisably in the same style, recognisably from the same creative. It's different, it's a different day, it's a different subject, things have moved on. And then tomorrow, if I show people that picture, maybe people will come back and ask me to do a variation on that one. And so you go through the iterations. And I think that's really interesting to do, is to take a picture that you know well, that you've created, and continually evolve it. not do the same shot again, but take what you did as if it was a as if it was another photographer's work, and say, today I'm going to shoot something like that, but I'm going to put my own spin on it. I'm going to put my own spin on my own image. And I think that's quite a creative way of developing sort of veins of styles of imagery through your work. And I'm just putting that out there as something that I think is quite an interesting way of working. And certainly, in my experience, it's created some of our strongest images to date. And even those images, while they are the strongest to date, I know tomorrow and the day after that, I'll be developing them again and again and again. And I just think it's a really useful thing. Anyway, the bigger topic is to talk about judging. Last night at the Master Photographers Association in the Central Region, which is one of the London regions of the MPA, I was asked, along with two fabulous photographers, David McDonald and Hosmer Darvey, to talk about the judging process and to actually have the people attending the meeting to bring their own images in, and we would judge them, we would mark them and critique them as if we were in a judging session for one of the big national competitions. And it was such an interesting thing to do, but it's also incredibly hard, because normally with judging, you only vocally critique an image when you have to. It's only when there's been contention, or when two people don't really agree on the image, or when it's borderline, or I don't know, million reasons. But as a rule, you don't critique every image. Last night we did. We had to critique every image and then come up with a score, which, of course, when you're doing that in front of the people who own those images, and it's not as anonymous as you would like if you're that close to the crowd, is very difficult. However, one of the things I thought was really interesting is how differently, now I can't speak for David and Hoss, but certainly from my point of view, how differently I read an image when I'm being a judge. There's something about the psychology of judging that brings out the analytic in you. And you go through all of the areas of the image. You do it very fast, but you still look in a very particular way at an image. The way it's shot, the way it's lit, the way it's posed, the way it's constructed and cropped, the way it's printed down onto paper. Everything about the image, you pick it apart. And what you're looking for are defects. I know that sounds a bit mean, but that is what you're doing. So on a proper judging session, I mean, Hoss was telling the story of one of the photographic competitions he judged in Dubai, I think, had 100,000 images. 100,000 images. And they did them over a period of a week or so, and they had 8 seconds per image. And they still had to make sure the right images rose to the top. And that's the ultimate. When you're judging at that kind of speed, you have to be very clear what you're looking for. You might miss stuff, but that's how you do it. Last night was a little bit more luxurious. We had time and we could talk about the images. But being critical of images like that is a really useful skill, particularly when you're looking at your own images. Now, I need to be just a word of caution here, is that if judges were that good at critiquing their own images, they would win every competition that they entered, and they don't. Which tells everything you need to know about this process. It's subjective and it's tricky, particularly when you're doing your own images. However, I do think it's a skill that it develops. The more judging you do, the more you have that skill. And certainly when I'm looking at our images now, I know what's wrong with them. I still let them go, because at the end of the day, most images that you shoot are directly for a client, and they're going to love the picture of their child absolutely killing itself laughing, tears rolling down its face. But it probably won't do very well in a competition, but it's priceless to a family. So you have to be a bit careful not to muddle the two up. But when you're working towards competition level images, which is a very specific part of the job, if you're into, not everybody's into competitions, and that's fine. I like them. And along with qualifications, which I'll talk about in a different podcast, I like them because they get you to push yourself. Okay, they get you to kind of drive towards a gold standard for you, the best image you can produce at that time, the absolute best, everything about it, from the styling in the original shoot, the lighting, the composition, everything, all the way through to the post-production, the photoshopping, and then down to the final mile of printing. All of it gives you an opportunity to develop and push yourself. That's why I like it. And now I work as a judge as well. that's a different spin again. And the judge's training that we went on was really intriguing, the way they teach you to read an image. So anyway, I'm going to give you these headings. These are the things that as a judge you look for. These are taken directly from the Society of Wedding and Portrait Photographers, the SWPP. So go over there, it's on their competition site. These are not mine. These are just what are on the wall when you are a judge at the SWPP. So number one is impact. Number two, creativity and style. Number three, composition. Four, image or print presentation. Five, center of interest. Six, lighting. Seven, color balance. Eight, technical excellence. Nine, photographic technique. 10, storytelling and subject matter. And those 10 areas are what you use to form your thinking and then articulate if you have to critique the image. I won't read out all of the content under those headings because you can go to the website and read that for yourself. However, it gives you a sense of how we're organising ourselves into thinking and talking about the image. Now, an interesting thing that came up last night is one photographer said, doesn't it feel like you are rewarding or penalising poor technical aspects when in fact the image may be full of emotion? And yes, that is true. That does happen where you see an image that you just all want to love, but it's still going to get scored down. But at the end of the day, we've got hundreds, maybe thousands of images to go through, and we have to find some way of distinguishing between them. So trust me, poor print quality, blown out highlights, hair, stray hair across an eye, these kinds of things, sensor dust spots, are all going to count against you. And in the end, no matter how good the image is, if you have those kinds of defects, the image is going to be scored down or outright kicked out. So if an image is soft, it's not in focus, it goes. If there are blown highlights on the skin, there better be a good reason for it, or it goes. A dust spot on a sensor, if you haven't picked that up, it goes. They go straight away. And so there's a great example from last year. There was a beautiful image that came through, properly beautiful. I'm not going to describe exactly what the image is because I don't really want to talk directly about, I don't want the photographer concerned to know this was the conversation, but it was an exquisite image of a bride and there was a patch of light on her shoulder. The rest of the image, the composition, exquisite, the print, exquisite, the tonality, oh my goodness, center of interest, she was just in the right place. Everything about this image, from the concept to the execution, to the production, to the print, just exquisite. But there was a patch of stray light coming from a window that had blown out the highlights on her neck. And there was no way a couple of the judges were letting that out. A couple of us thought differently, and a couple of us thought that it could not go out. And here's the reason why it couldn't. And in the end, though it took a minute to persuade me, I think that it was right. Images that win or do well in competitions are held up as a gold standard. They're held up as images that people will aspire to. They're held up as the very images that they will plagiarize, that they will copy. As such, if you let obvious defects through, you are telling other photographers, or you are saying to other photographers, those kinds of defects are what you should be aspiring to, because the people coming up are just beginning, look at these pictures and think, oh, that's great. That image has done really well. I too should light the neck like that. And so technical defects like that, you can't let through. And so learning to think like a judge, learning to approach an image and read an image like a judge, and in the end, learning to shoot like a judge is not a bad way to do it. So if you ever get the opportunity to be a part of a judging panel, or to judge a local school competition, I still do these as a favour to some of the schools in the area. I'll go and judge the kids' summer photographic competitions. And I'm not saying I judge kids' competitions like I'm judging the nationals. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is I take it very seriously. And even there, I use it as a way of practicing what I'm looking for in an image for when I'm judging some of the professional associations. And that is my thoughts on judging plagiarism. Until next time, remember, be kind to yourselves, be positive, be creative. Good night.